3 hours looking at possible elements and discussing ways to develop possible paths forward for the domes. And this is, you have the materials sent out to you in advance for the task force, and the public has been able to see the matrix, and I hope that that has helped, but this is a complex body of information, and Bob Reyes will
walk us through it. Thank you. Take us through it, Chairman. So, just to recap on a couple of points, what we're going to do right now is just spend a minute or two reflecting on the last workshop. Then, as Mr. Chairman indicated, then we'll kind of march through these options, and we'll talk a little bit about the implication of phasing of options. And then we're going to have a little exercise to allow you to, the task force, to state its preferences for the options, and we'll discuss the result of that little exercise, and talk a little bit about next steps. We tried to put some time limits on this. There's a lot of material, but that's where we are. So, let's see. So, we want to thank everybody for the hard work that we all did. This is just a few of the, I guess, the notes or whatever, from that. These little dots are where some of your preferences came in. So, just to recap that process, we kind of came in, and based on best practices and market, all the things and the input from professional staff, had some ideas about what some of the options would be, like targeted investments, have aspirational goals for the domes, and so on. And then there was good input with preferences and all that, very words, and then what were deemed most important. That material and that stuff was put into then these options and all the work we've done here. That's about all I want to say about that. That the task force input is very much embedded in the options that we see. Okay, so I'm going to try to move through these options, and there is one option, which is to do nothing. And you know, we had Julie provide some input on, you know, what's happening now with the domes and this falling and all that. And one option would be to do nothing, just do nothing, and just see what happens. And we put that out there just to reflect that literally to do nothing, but at a certain point that brings the situation forward, and it's not you can't defer action, you can't defer mediating the maintenance forever. But we, you know, there is a logical do nothing. And
you call that good.
Well, that's unknown at this point. The report we had indicated that the testing is going to occur in the upcoming period, and you know, but one of the things that's important about the do nothing option is that doing nothing also continues the lack of optimal use of the domes that right now. You'll recall that in some of the earlier presentations, we talked about the ratios of staff to domes, you know, and the staff, and there's just not optimal use of the domes. The public is not getting all the benefit that could be had from the domes, and that other investment alternatives or options would then allow the domes to really perform better in their public purpose. Okay, so there is something about it, do nothing, but it leads to someday taking them down.
Yes, I think the point is that you may call it do nothing, but it's essentially a definite option.
Right, and that's sort of option two, in that, you know, you as a community can put a lot of rest it's going to help. Now, so we thought that these were, these kind of plans, these single, when we saw these detailed ones, we said, oh, we're all going to want to look at the small fine print here. So anyway, the demolished domes here is, well, if the community decides that it for whatever reason doesn't want to invest in the domes, now and continue operating as is, well, the option there would be to demolish the domes. So option one, which is carry on as is and demolish the domes, they're kind of linked together, and they're more tied as when, because without addressing the underlying issues, it's like leaving a bridge, a dangerous bridge. At a certain point, you have to do this or the bridge gets closed. All these are kind of, they're like bridges, as I'll say, in that sense, at a certain point, they're dangerous. That's why I made that little comment there, because one knows that at some point, with nothing done to address the domes, they'll have to be taken down. And it should be said that there are consequences to demolishing the domes. Here we have, what about the collections? We've got collections of great value. So there will be capital costs related to doing something with those, transporting those, maybe finding, building a new home for them. What are we going to do if we demolish the domes? What are we as a community going to do with that? So what does that mean? Put them in hibernation in the greenhouses? I mean, is that proper? Is that the worst here? We don't know what's going to happen to those collections in that sort of scenario. Demolishing the domes in its own right has capital costs, substantial capital costs, both in terms of taking down those domes, but then, doing something with the site to bring it to whatever future parkland or whatever it is. So there, in this case, there would be spending, substantial spending, again, it's not known what exactly that would be, to do something then. And then there is the question as a community, well, what do you do with greenhouses and the annex at that point? Those facilities have a long life ahead of them, and then there's the cost of, well, what do we do with those domes now, and the costs related to that. So I think it's apparent that doing nothing or demolishing the domes have real dollar costs attached to them. Doing nothing means, well, on an ongoing basis, spending a lot of money retesting the domes, and, on an ongoing basis, testing, all that sort of thing, and then spending a lot of money for the suboptimum energy efficiency, not to say the least, that it's not a very kind use of natural resources or eco-friendly, as it were. So these two options are there. Option three is to, and this is put as a singular. The first thing that one could do is simply address the domes and assert the capital costs that we'll be getting to in the future that will, we have some guesses, but we'll talk about those later, but they are guesses at this point, and as Julie's report certainly indicated, hasn't been figured out yet. But it's we get a building envelope and then continue on as is. And, that scenario is put there because doing anything else is additional expenditure. So that's one expenditure that's related to those domes. But other expenditures that may be worthwhile are then just presented in subsequent options. So there is something that's kind of like continue on as is, except for remediate the domes. Just as logically is right.
So a comment that Julie made in regards to the repair, they need to determine if they can do it piece by piece or if it has to come down and then go back up. Obviously, if it comes down, it goes back up. There's a huge concern that
these options, you know, they actually do occur over time. This process that what we're trying to do is help you get to, in this community, get to a vision for the dumps. What are we going to do about the dumps, knowing that it may take some time? And some of these big options may take a long time to get to. You know, again, we're seeing these things. You know that it may take more time, and that there are a lot of things that occur like that, you know, during the process that make us all kind of blanch, like, oh boy, you know, when the repairs are going on, geez, we're going to have to, you know, deal with the collection and so on and so forth. So that's true. Yes?
This option does not address anything inside the dorm, such as the ADA accessibility questions?
That's correct. In other words, because this is the driver. This point is the driver to this, and one would hazard guess that repairing the domes would trigger other things, and that's being stipulated. You know, who knows if there's more? We're just trying to isolate that and to think about the consequences of just doing that, because other options for the future would indicate, well, let's take on some other things as well. You know, actually, I think which is where you're going here, which is, well, let's do a little bit more so that it'll work better. Or, you know, and those are the subsequent options. Okay? All right. So,
all three of these have the social and economic adverse consequences in terms of the reduction of consumers and others.
Not so much that would say, well, the visitor will look a little bit better, but it's not going to materially change the attendance or the impacts or the programs. And what you know, you continue to have good things that are going on here, but it wouldn't be additive just to correct the domes. And that's why this is isolated. In that sense, we're going to spend this amount and continue on as we are. Okay, now this thing goes to, I think, Peter's point that it may make sense to do targeted investments, and the domes right now are kind of have got a lot of depreciation. It's depreciation in that sense, but there's a functional obsolescence that's also occurring. That is to say, the design in 1964-65, this was the classroom, or that's the lobby, and now with the way things are today, the facilities are functionally obsolete because they don't have, Roger or Sandy would say, well, some of the things that are included here. More classrooms, offices so we can properly house staff, meeting space, storage, expanded guest entrance. So this option says, not to get it, say exactly, but we're going to, in this option, a design for this option would address these sorts of things.
I know.
I thought that I was going to be swooped down on. So the things that would want to be done, and again, this phase of all this process is not to go in and design exactly what it is, but to get a vision. And so one could imagine that in connections to the greenhouses and looking at that the annex and saying, oh, what would it take to make that truly functional? How could we make the connections? How could we, and again, this, you can see that either in this little list here or in these big charts we have, we've looked at a lot of thought about a lot of things that would be, that could be addressed. Rent facility rentals, events, more earned revenue potential through, you know, a real retail shop, not a small little hole in the wall. Maybe a supportive food service. Here you see event, guest entrance. The whole experience of entering the domes, of the wayfinding to the domes, the parking situation. There's lots of things that a fine-tuned study of what would it take to make this place really sing with the domes repaired and having some, you know, good long life expectancy for those, then investing in all those pieces. So that's what this option four is about. Now, in addition,
so I just asked that on the task force leaves today. Sandy did bring up the model from 2000. It addresses many of these items. It's a good visual of what could be done. Not saying that that's what should be done, but it is a good visual as far as, you know, the added, all these added spaces and that.
Yeah.
So please take a moment and look at that.
Yeah. That's the early master plan from almost 20 years ago. Good. And you know, and in this case, some of these things are just basic. I mean, they're just as true today as they were 20 years ago. Classroom spaces, in office and all. Now, in addition to targeted investments in capital, in the physical spaces, there, if the community is going to go in this direction of investing in facilities, well, it has to, in a sense, has to also make commitments about how it will operate the domes. So it wouldn't be sensible to go forward and build these spaces and then not make commitments to operating these differently. Okay? So that's it's a really important layer here. For in the first few options, you know, if you're just going to operate as is, or maybe repair the domes, well, you know, I kind of made the point of, well, what would you, you know, maybe you want to put more resources into operating, but it isn't transformative. The investment isn't transformative like all these spaces. So in order to get the return on the community's investment in these spaces, it means operating differently. Now that may mean, from a governance perspective, it may mean finding ways to bring in partner organizations where maybe there's been some capital investment from outside of the government sector, and the commitment to have operating partnerships in that manner, or just pure philanthropic support as one point, one way that may happen. Also, maybe a bigger commitment from the county as operator, as prime operator, because of the investments and the opportunities that are created to earn more money, that's to say, put a little more into operations, suddenly you're earning more, and maybe you're getting more gifts and grants, so it's kind of transforming the whole operation once there is the means to have a higher level of operation. Okay? Comments about that? Okay. Now, you saw that in reviewing these materials beforehand that there was 5A to 5Bs, 6A, 6B, and all of that. The last option four, the past master plan and, current staff, the friends, we could probably pretty quickly get to, oh, we need this and that, that sort of investment. We kind of get that relatively, efficiently as a planning process. And one could understand how that would work. Now, as a destination attraction, as something that really is transformative, well, there's different directions we can go. A transformative approach, the is by nature, you know, everybody's got their own vision in their minds of what that means. I certainly have, you know, some ideas, and I'm sure everybody's been thinking what it does. So we try to break that vision into kind of two groups, just to say, yeah, there is alternate visions, and we know that one might be in the middle, one might be, you know, on either side of these, you know, that would manifest if the community follows this these options. And so one might be to really go eco and really make it about, you know, maybe create a new ecological habitat, and you know, within that, kind of putting the candy walks according to life events, but really going full bore on the new biomes and all that side. And so all the ideas that have come from both the team and the county folks and you all, we tried to group those together into one pot where it was all about the conservation and that sort of thing. And here also, it should be said that here we're really starting to also thinking about busting out outdoors. And, you know, children's gardens, outdoor gardens, and here I just threw down at least, you know, a few ideas of, boy, there are lots of different outdoor gardens that might be, you know, worthwhile to add. And then here, maybe community gardens and really engaging the community in gardens and you know, all that sort of thing, and growing plants. This idea of an outdoor children's garden in the ticketed zone, that really, those children's gardens have been very effective in many places, and getting children engaged, children really get engaged with plants and all of these sorts of things. It's a real growth opportunity for children, and they're very, very successful in many places. They're a way for families to get together. And we've mostly talked about this, to answer a question, mostly on the outdoor area, because they tend to be large. You know, they tend to be large. And, you know, it's not to say that they couldn't have some that children's garden kind of blend in, but, I mean, they're relatively large in scale, and so they probably tend to be more outdoors. One of the things that is important in this idea of getting outside is addressing the seasonality of the domes and really making them a more year-round facility. And that will be really important in justifying the investments that are made in expanding the economic impacts. It's really a great opportunity for earning more money through higher attendance and more sales. And then, again, you know, the community benefits of all these community gardens, conservation, ecological elements, and then, you know, and you can, you know, at that point, maybe get involved with a destination restaurant. Until you get to a certain scale and you're really getting those audiences in, yeah, it might be a tough go. We wouldn't say, let's throw that into that option number four. That might be, you know, a tough one for just this targeted investment. It might be a little bit too much. We're talking about that. And then, again, the whole thing about operating and governance changes. And here, with a more substantial transformation in the place and the investment, so too it's likely that it would be required that there's more of a change in governance. That is to say, really bringing in a partner who, you know, maybe more like the Zuma that you have now or something like that, where this place would have the heft and the earning power and community interest, all those things that would be necessary, I think, in both directions. I think that in order to really invest, and this has been the case in many, many places, in order to get private sector partners and philanthropy investing in an institution of this sort, with that goes, well, we want to have a say later about how this is operated, you know, and that's typically been the trade or the handshake or the deal that's been put together in so many places, as when these sorts of institutions No, I think that it would have a place in such a constructed, you know, in other words, because that happens once there's a vision in place and you reach out. We have a vision, we're going to be doing these things. Now we would like to get, because that's perfect, because that, in all respects, is perfect to be folded into this. And so if that could happen, that would reinforce everything.
So we
more
could
the eco zone than the adventure zone.
Right. Yes.
We could designate one of the greenhouses as a research greenhouse, not a production greenhouse. You know, and partner and get the horticultural department of MATC to run it. You know,
as a for instance.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. Because there is a real infrastructure there to support such activities. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, we've got an extraordinary resource of the greenhouses.
Indeed. So the NIC
control.
Yeah. So here, as another kind of slant on some vision that makes this an attraction that still maintains the horticultural theme. Sorry about the typo, I'm sure that's me. Here we the dome is, you know, really invested with, you know, vision of camping walks, zip lines, climbing structures, workplace, playground. It becomes a yin and yang for, you know, the more serene domes, and becomes, you know, more of a complete family destination. Still has all of the botanical setting and lessons and education within that setting that are all mission oriented, but that's the layer that's added. You know, can create a changing exhibit area, maybe create a new facility for theme flower shows and other public events. And so this option has got that more public attraction, a little bit more on the public attraction side. And in the future, there's that idea of, you know, finding the balance or going one direction or the other, depending on the future, what the future holds in terms of, you know, planning processes that you decide exactly what it'll be. Right now, to land with 2 feet on one or the other would seem premature because, you know, it's pretty obvious, I would think. And again, all of this does speak to there's physical investments, but there's also operating enhancements. And in terms of this idea of phasing, this presumes that it's going to take a long time to get to either 5A or 5B, right? So, you know, in this case, you're likely to mediate the dome, start infilling with some of the pieces that are needed, and then as you're planning and working towards the ultimate vision, one would imagine that's more likely than, you know, a big swoop down of large dollars and being able to decide and get to an endpoint real fast. Terms of what this really becomes. Okay. Now, 6A and 6B were somewhat latecomers to, you know, the way we thought about how to lay out the options for you all in the community. Here, there has been concern about the literal timeline that the domes can be used for, you know, as public places. And so if it were the case that their lifespan were such that it would be hard to make the investments necessary for these destination attractions, it may be that, well, we're going to preserve a couple and at a certain point develop at least, you know, one of the redevelop a dome as a in that destination mode. So this is kind of geared towards understanding. there's realities to these futures that may come into play that relate to what is the timeline that the domes would be capable of receiving that level of investment as a visionary kind of space. Okay, so because if they're deemed to be 20, 25 years, you want to put together bonds to invest in that facility, well, that may not fly as bonds, to bond those investments. So they may literally be off the table, but if you build a structure with the appropriate timeline for that investment in this location, in this place, then, you know, it might be that that is possible. So in this process, you want to make sure that there's a reality to really visionary kind of looks towards the future of the domes, and to understand that this may go in different directions moving forward.
So you're mentioning bonds and bonding. So a little bit more clarification. Are you saying that, let's say one dome is raised and you build something new, that can be bonded?
Theoretically. Theoretically.
Versus the repair work cannot be.
Generally correct.
With supervised housing.
Yes, that's generally correct. The repair work, it's very unlikely, I'm seeing that. Okay, yeah. Oh, check the analysts for your answer. Things like repair, that has to be paid for as cash. I'm really oversimplifying this, but something like building a significant new structure, be it a bridge or a dome or a building, that's what can get bonding. So, yeah.
Right. And so
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt you, but let's stretch out how long we can take to pay it back. Pay back the interest on the bond.
So longer life, longer term, easier payments annually.
Right. And so there is a reality to the opportunities for the future that really has to be recognized so that the process of dealing with domes stays in reality.
But there are other features of a new structure as one of the three domed areas. If we are really want to be on the forefront and a destination on the ecology associated with horticulture, then we could construct the most state-of-the-art in terms of materials and design and facilities that would be have far greater capacity to fulfill the mission than retrofitting an existing dome. So we, you know, a whole new dome might have a different glazing material that has higher efficiency that could be demonstrated, like the domes in the horticultural conservatories that are being developed in Canada and Europe. We could be experimenting with construction techniques that are innovative, and that would be very consistent with the history of domes. The history of the domes were a cutting-edge new architectural technology when they were built. So if we did that again as part of a plan, that, you know, 20 years from now, or 15 years, or whatever it is from now, it seems to me it would be consistent with this. The domes as cutting edge, the latest thing architecture. So
yeah.
It's more than just a bonding issue, is what I'm saying. It's
right.
It's
and
an operational issue. We could get climate control, we can do, you know, with moisture controls and all sorts of variables could be controlled that would make it more of an experimental facility, you know, with able to assess and determine how shifting climates affect
domes going for a long time. For a long time by mediating them. Right? And that there's a part that we can understand that. There's a question about in these long time frames, what are the edge points that allow certain types of investments in the facility as a whole? And so it's pretty it takes some hard thinking and analysis of when would these things occur, how much would they cost, what's the time frame, and because it does talk about 50-year timeline. We say we're going to carry these for 25 years. We're going to do this here. We're going to do that here. There's ultimately, I think if a position like this is pursued, that kind of thinking has to be in place to support these sorts of investments in now and in the upcoming future.
Bob has just asked phase three questions. Questions that we would try to get some preliminary answers on in phase three of this planning work if we decide to go ahead in the direction of one or more of these aspirations, is to get more answers to some of the questions about financing and bonding, all the things that you just described. We could flesh out more than we can tonight.
That seems that it may even be a prior design question. A lot of brick and mortar in both of the destination attractions, changing exhibit area, flower shows, a restaurant. The design question seems to me would be to decide whether or not to be done efficiently within the scope of an existing dome or something new.
Correct.
And that's a fork in the road. I mean, that really is. You do one thing or the other.
Well, if we could have a controlled environment dome within a dome, within one of our traditional domes, could have a structure inside that had HVAC and all sorts of, so there's lots of,
So to keep us on track, at least marginally on track here, so the 6B is that same discussion with the alternative adventure dome kind of approach. Same now, so we get that. And then phasing is inherent in the options. Then we kind of start to really attack that issue and the complexity that it introduces to the decision making process. Now, we had in pulling together our facility elements in the option. What we tried to do here is provide us, but also provide you with a chart that helps line up these things and compare what's in what. So the facility elements are on this page 13, and they follow through to page 14 and 15. So we've got 28 opportunities, and the groupings, particularly if we want to have these on one page, you start to see how the groupings fall out. If here we say address the deferred maintenance, well, yeah, okay. Here we've got it in all of these where we're going to be investing in the domes themselves. Well, and get in that direction. And then each of these items are kind of segmented by if they're somewhat more environmentally oriented or somewhat more public oriented, attraction oriented. Okay? And then on page 16, we're laying out some of the governance and operation issues. And again, for the sake of time, to look at these in the area of governance, this is a key consideration in investing in the future in the domes, because with the county operating as is, get partners. One of the things that we've run into when in other, you know, major communities that are taking on this sort of thing is that what I said earlier, like, well, if we're going to invest in this, being the private sector, being, you know, not-for-profit and or for-profit sectors, we're going to become partners in this place and help pay for these improvements. We want to help operate it, and we pledge, we have to pledge operational support as well. We're going to make capital investments. The deal is you've got to make operational, ongoing operational commitments as well. And that goes with the territory of creating partnerships. So the governance side is, well, where could it land? Is it a joint venture? Is it that county owns and there's an MOU with an operator? Or in some places there's, you know, some, quote, some county staff and some operating, you know, partner organization has some staff. There are different ways that it comes out that are particular to the situation at hand. So that's for the future to tell in terms of this. But that knowledge that in order to go big, we, one way or another, even targeted investments, we've got to address the governance of where the domes currently sit in operationally within the county. And then again, that becomes more and more important. And they have to be operated at a larger level. And the implication there is that you earn more, you have more opportunities for gifts and grants. Presumably, the county still has some sort of relationship from a funding perspective. Maybe not. Maybe they're entirely given over. That's a bit for your community to figure out. But that those funds support the larger operation that makes all those things happen. Makes sense. And so that maybe the ratios change a little bit, you know, in terms of what you pay for by what. But the numbers get larger in all dimensions, both in terms of revenues, expenditures, and outcomes. So with that said, maybe we can quickly go through to 18. With outcomes. So what we've tried to do is chart out for each of these a number of factors that goes, I think it goes like three, you know, several pages. So 22 points where, you know, you can go through and look at them, and you know, some of them are very basic. You know, sustained botanical collections. Well, if you demolish the domes, you put a hurting on the collections for sure, right? And you know, whereas if by addressing the deferred maintenance, or and maybe getting into things like improving HVAC and things of that nature, you actually made it better for the collections. So the, you know, that sort of analysis flows through many of these 22 items. And some of these are, you know, quite important, like attendance increases. Well, you know, though it's more than just attendance. What that attendance number implies is that there's more people of this community being served, but also that people from outside of the community are coming here spending dollars. One of the things about tourism, if you will, and this is what our field happens to be, is we do economic impact analyses, is that it is imported dollars. It's just as good as a Chevy demand. That is to say, somebody's sending you money to this community, and you're providing good and service, and that's new money in your community that's recirculated. Okay? It's just as good as a Chevy plant, you know, quote unquote. Because there are, as we know, tourism economies. Okay? There are tourism economies. So by having a diverse economy here, a strong manufacturing sector, you've got all the different sectors do that. By reinforcing the tourism sector, you're creating new jobs here and new taxes and everything else. So this sort of attraction that brings in people from Illinois, from investing in this facility has to do with benefits for your community and benefits for the economy. And the attendance and economic impacts are an important part of the decision making for investing or not, you know, to get your decision in this on these facilities. Another one, number 17 on page 19, is net operating result, loss, mutual gain. One of the points that's made here is that doing nothing, you know, just is kind of continues the issue you're having now with suboptimum outcomes. So you're putting money into this operation, but it's not creating this sort of community benefits and economic benefits. It could, and that by not investing in the facilities, that's going to become harder and harder as is. And so that the whether or not you're staying as you are or maybe going downhill operationally by doing nothing or closing it down, that's what not doing anything is. And addressing deferred maintenance isn't going to change much in terms of the bottom line that you're having now. So target investments or other investments have their impact on improving the operational side of things. Okay? I think that's a kind of another key point here. What are we doing for time? While Russ looks that up, he's given me about 12 times. Man, he's a tough guy. So, and the other one that I think numbers 18, 19, 20 on page 20, you know, I think that we've made judgments here. Our team has made judgments about these. But these are community tests, responsive to needs of both local community and regional visitors, education and conservation benefits, social and community development, the aforementioned economic impacts. But, you know, I think that everybody who is part of the decision-making process here has their own take on what these domes mean to the community and can mean to the community from those perspectives. You know, and I don't know. To me, you know, bringing little kids out to garden or to see what a desert environment is like or a tropical environment, this is really important for their development. And all those things about have to be weighed in this process. Mm-hmm. Well, what do these domes mean to this community, both in what they provide? And so, you know, here's a little rating system here on page 20 about those outcomes. So, can you plug in this? So when you have a public good like conservation and education, built a restaurant. Now that's a partnership that can work, because you're saying, ah, come in here, we'll both benefit. I'm going to give you a cool opportunity for a restaurant, and in turn, we'll make some money to support this place, and we've got a benefit for everybody that comes, because that'll be part of the reason for coming. So there are ways to make for-profit partnerships, but they're more narrowly targeted.
The reason I ask is, what if there's an opportunity with the new infrastructure grant at the federal level, where with the changes in tax code, there might be incentive for investors, say you have a wealthy individual, they sell $1 billion of stock, they have a $500,000 capital gain. Instead of paying that capital gain, there's a program where they can take their investment and do good in kind of a zone. Because I think there might be an opportunity, I don't know, but some of you might know this coming down the pike, that there could be a potential for substantial investments in a different kind of way than maybe we have seen in the past.
Right. Now that sounds
that
great.
Could,
yeah.
You know, get us to that 95 million, 100 million in a quicker way,
mm-hmm.
but it would require a different model of governance, because it's not a donation, and it's not a forgivable grant. You know, the investment has to come back. It needs to have some kind of return.
In different circumstances, there are projects, you know, loosely saying of this type, that have been able to garner such tax kind of things. I can recall who was like the side greens, like I remember those being somehow part of the you know what I mean, facade. Who knows? It might well, and boy, talk about the facade, man. There may be ways. Now that's a little different. That's like a mechanism. I would say that's a funding mechanism, and that's the important difference there. So that'd be terrific. You do those sorts of things.
There are a lot of creative ways in which parks and park departments and park facilities are getting funding around the country. Some is from development fees. If you're going to have a new development approved, a certain amount of money has to be deposited by the developer into a fund for the parks or for the zones. And some of these are geographic area things. So if there was sort of a modification of our notion of bids and TIFs to be a development zone where you get tax credits for, you know. So there's lots of creative ways that could be developed. And there's lots going on around the country to broaden the range of financing opportunities for municipalities beyond what we have now. So I think there's a lot of potential. But I think this is, if we're going to get into even 4, 5, or 6, a lot of work needs to be done, and mm-hmm. part of the strategy needs to be how to be creative about funding and financing. I think of TGI Fridays restaurant that's open year-round. They're not depending on who events at Miller Park to make that a going concern. And if we had a restaurant in partnership with this place, it wouldn't have to depend on how getting 400,000 visitors here for lunch, because if it were open all the time, and it would attract people to up here, you know, they'd start saying, oh, I go to the Domes all the time because that's got that neat restaurant. Now I go every 25 years when somebody comes from out of town. So you know, there could be, you've already mentioned that as a for-profit partnership.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Just one quick thing, just to jump on that, is that I think there could be opportunities for multiple for-profits. Like, for example, the Destination Restaurant and or Adventure Rock, you know, that maybe is incorporated in a second new, and there could be the nonprofit component as well. I think there's ways that we could look at that. So,
yeah.
So which of these six, actually it's eight with the variations, which of these options is, you know, how do we feel about it? So we just thought it might be helpful to just come up with a, do a little voting tonight to see where we are as a group on these matters. This is not final. This is very preliminary, and we would say that this is not, we're not asking for a formal vote endorsing one of these options or another. We're doing kind of a preference survey that we think might help the public in responding to what we've done and understanding better where we are. We have, I hope, a great deal of, a lot of time and energy in a detailed examination of this stuff. So I would hope that the public would be, like to know, just sort of thoroughly. So we've come up with this methodology that Bob will walk us through.
Yeah, good. So what we're going to do is, and it's all one sheet, and I tore mine out just to demonstrate. There's a 3, a 2, and a 1. Most preferred is 3, it has the most points. Next most preferred, third most preferred, and if you only want to put on 2, one of them, fine. And you can't bundle them all on one. You have to put 3 or 2, And then what we've done today, again, to try to simplify things, we've kind of conflated options 1 and 2, because as we said earlier, we set up. So they're kind of about the same thing. Do nothing, not invest. We're not going to invest, proactively invest. Option 3, if you recall, just to make sure we remember, is where we have the targeted, just the domes themselves, just the domes, kind of as that's that approach. Option 4 is that targeted investments, classrooms, and all of that. And 5 and 6 are kind of this visionary approach. And so what we're doing is asking everybody just to put 3, 2, and 1 in there, and just kind of hand them in. And then Rust is going to add them up and just report on the sense of the group. So we're not going to go around and do that thing. It'll just be a compiled vote. There were, 2, 3 for option 1 and 2, and there's 2 for, and so on and so forth. And so if you do that, is everybody got a pen? If you're interested, if you think the way to go is options 1 and 2, and that's your most preferred option, you'd put a 3 there, and if you thought option 3 was the next best, you'd put a 2 there. If you thought the next best is option 1, you'd put a 1 there. Or you might have a different grouping. You've got 3 votes, and if you want to only use a couple of those, but you can't push them together. That way we're trying to have an exercise that gets to the bottom line on this.
So from understanding, if you don't have a third most preferred, you just
let it go.
It gets to 0.
It's like a no vote. It's like a 0.
Discovery World currently has an aquarium with, I think, the Scarborough Museum. We could have a museum here in the Tree Park. So, I hate to say this, and we keep bringing up mid-century modern, but a museum for mid-century modern, right? What's going to draw people to the facility?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. We are not, I'm not asking for us to decide today or propose additional ideas that I'm sure presented. I'm just on the broad brush, you know, between these two choices of theme. I guess what you're saying, we could do both, or we could do some a third
thing. Right. The other thing that I think is useful when we think about these, they're not they're on themselves, but there's also what you think of the impacts, if you will. Because I think they're trade-offs. They're just trade-offs in these two kind of visions. They both, you know, would share some. There's some overlap between them, certainly. But I think, you know, while we have a couple of minutes, if people want to just comment on that, it'd be fine.
Okay.
I think that there's a way to be able to do the ego dome and the nature dome. I think you could actually have elements of both. I do. And I think you'd have to be creative about the space. But I think if it's that really wow factor that you have, this awesome air dome and this awesome tropical dome, and then you have this freaking vision, I think you can really incorporate that and be able to have people here for a longer period of time and be willing to spend more money. I think that you can incorporate both, to be honest.
And recurring.
Yeah, that people are going to want to come on. That's
fun.
That's what I envision, that people would want to go a couple times a month. Because this is an awesome thing, but I think that we could bring that wow factor to bring people in, and that it goes to your point about, you know, becoming really that Midwest destination that obviously very iconic in Wisconsin, very iconic in Milwaukee, but really kind of drawing in, you know, other people.
I guess I can see what you're saying. I would think though that if there's more activity, if there's more adventures to do, that would be draw people back more often, and I also see more of a revenue generating aspect of the adventure dome. So, you know, how often do things change in the eco dome type of thing? You know, you come once or twice a year and kind of see the same thing, but the adventure dome, maybe there are different adventures throughout the seasons and things like that. So. Yes, I agree that you could do both, but if you're looking at strictly, you know, revenue generating and interest and things like that, I think the adventure dome type of thing is what I would lean towards.
John?
I think you have to be careful with this hybridization. Discovery World, it does have a museum, but it's just two things because there were two founding organizations. One was science technology, one was water. And they ended up having kind of this hybrid facility in one building. So it was not sort of by design, but we ended up that way. And from my own thinking, I think the mission statement here again is to provide a horticultural conservatory for people in Milwaukee and visitors. And I see, I think you're right, guys, there could be cross fertilization for the zip line and a rock climbing wall. Yeah, there could be some interference, you know, with flower displays. I lean toward the eco side. I think that's more consistent with the long-term vision of the conservatory. And I do see the potential for perhaps cross-fertilization, but also for conflict between those two visions.
Jason.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Yeah,
I appreciate what Roger said about thinking outside of the box. And as a discussion about it, my thinking is kind of binary and maybe a little old-fashioned. So I think the eco-dome and this concept is more, to me, more in keeping with the dome's classic mission. its purpose, the reason it was created. With the adventure dome, I think that would make it more commercial, which is kind of, we love for every bit of revenue we can get, but here's being a little purist, it's like, we got to take away from the mission of the domes as this horticultural conservancy. I think so. But it's abstract, so.
I agree with going along with the mission of the Culture Conservatory, and that the, in that case, Ecodome would be more appropriate. But I mean, I just think that, you know, as you talked about last time, Bill, there's all sorts of paths to go down. Academically, research-wise, community-wise, involving horticulture, climate, and all of that stuff. And that just seems much more of a public mission than creating another last $5 million or something, which seems very commercial to me.
Michelle?
I kind of disagree with the commercialism. To give a true experience of that environment. So if you're in the rainforest, I think I said this last time, you're not walking flat. You know, you're walking down steep inclines and up, and you're at all levels where at one point in the forest you're on the treetops, which is a whole different experience than being down on the bottom by the waterfall and swimming in it. It's all one experience. And I think to give a true flavor of what those experiences are, it can be a great hybrid where you're still staying true to the ecosystem, but you're actually being more authentic because you're giving that experiences of seeing the ecology at all different aspects and having fun while doing it.
What you're describing, I understand to be a very possible element of an eco focus as well as where the one thing I'm a little concerned about, and I don't know how people feel about it, that rides, adventure, things like that, they seem to go through fads. Rock climbing was a big deal for a while here in Milwaukee. There were rock climbing walls all over the place. The Y put one in, and people stopped using them, and they're not there. You're getting some revival of this place on the river, but, you know, it comes and goes. I think one of our ways of looking at this is to include what will be the staying power of targeted facilities. And it may be that concern about the effects of climate on the ecology is of limited concern, and maybe we'll solve that problem worldwide. Also, we need to consider the partnership opportunities. Now, a somewhat academic education-focused ecosystem may attract different partners with different resources, including public partners, that are interested in see a common interest in that, where the university is less likely to be a partner for a zip line. But I guess all we're doing is sort of beginning to raise these issues, because we're at just the right time for us to go to the public phase. We've got these ideas, we've got these thoughts, I think we put some more specifics on what the possibilities are, and I'd love to hear what other people feel about how you can look at it as even as a case statement to potential funders. What's your reaction to exciting new adventure focus to one of our domes? Would you find that something that you would recommend to others to fund? You know, so we can take a lot of this stuff and start testing it even with philanthropic options and partners. Where are we doing on that?
Yep.
And the results are.
The survey says.
So four, five, and six, real close. Three, nobody going to, no points. So.
I think that this means that couple people only use two of their votes. Just to make sure everybody gets that one.
So the threes, which are the, this is my first thing, it's 7 of 11 are for 5 and 6. 10 out of 11 are for at least doing target investments. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But then the second, start looking at the second choices. Third choices you get, it kind of spreads it out a bit more. So
since we were forced to make a second choice, I think that sort of hampered the results.
Well, some people didn't, but you didn't have to make a second choice. You could have bulleted it here.
Yeah, I do. So that there may be more distance between 4 and 5 and 6 than apparent from the numbers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, in terms of, but I think that the that option 4 clearly was the second choice. If we can't get all the way to 5 or 6, well, we certainly are interested in doing. And in that sense, it is meaningful because of that grouping of 6 and 7.
Targeted investments, we don't want to just
So in that 3, 6, and the targeted, and then the 7, 1. So that actually does tell a story.
That's what you're basing the search for.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. So what this also means, kind of, is that the implication for is that you move from 3 to 4 to 5, 6, kind of sequentially in a development process. If indeed you're trying to get here, because you kind of have to do, you have to fix the domes. You probably have to put in needed infrastructure in order to get to that visionary place.
Well, it is 7 o'clock, and I think we have, a consensus that when we move to the public phase, the options will include the options that we discussed tonight. They all go to the public phase.
That's a good idea.
Unless somebody moves to, this is a waste, let's not bother to get public input on one or another. Peter?
I guess I just want to clarify, how set in stone are we looking at eco versus adventure, or are we still, how do we present that to the public, that this is still up for discussion?
So my recommendation is that there's a visionary, that there's a vision for the domes that really expands their attractiveness to both the to area residents and to tourists, and because it takes a lot to identify exactly what that should be, this process just says there are different ways we can get that. That's why we've got 5 and 6, because we really recognize we can go in different directions with that.
Well, I guess then I would suggest then that that's made crystal clear that options 5 and 6 are examples only.
Yes,
so
that's really a good, great point.
And I think we can affirmatively say that the task force has not reached a conclusion on a preference for either one or the other.
I was just going to, it seemed like 6 options to present to the public is it's cumbersome from a communications perspective. So even more if you have the 5A and the 6A and the 5B and the 6B, I think if there's any way to try to simplify it for the sake of public presentation,
very helpful points that are precursors to, gee, what should be the our strategy for public input? Because, you know, I think everybody in this room appreciates what's behind, you know, all these people.
Right.
But, like you say, what we're trying to do is get to that visionary idea. Well, you know, should we not do anything? Should we just repair them? Or should we have more vision within a 4 or 5 sort of strategy? And I think that those are good words to lead up into planning.
So it is just 3 options. It's essentially let them die, restore them, or improve them.
Let them die. And then there's probably several levels of should we just
sooner or later
should we just invest in them, you know, and mediate them and just invest in those things that make them go as they are, or do we really want to go?
I mean, for the sake of public discussion, I think that the way that we just presented it is really what we're looking at. So if you, you know, he was able to narrow it down to 3 options instead of, you know, because I think the third option is going to be, you know, going to allow for other options. I don't think that it would be bad, you know, at those public listening sessions to ask the public, you know, so these are some of the ideas that have exploded. Like, where are you on these ideas? Do you like the, you know, the rope, whatever, or do you like an incline, or do you like some of the education center? But to, you know, present it to the public as you may have this, because the other part of this is that, and Jason Bosch can break out in the hive tent, so when the voting took place, is that who knows how much this costs. And so to get the public sold on very specific ideas at this point, you know, could be a little dangerous. I actually have to meet with a guy after the meeting because the city of Milwaukee came in to Walker Square and said, hey, we have these great options we're going to do. We want to include the park in it. I said, hey, don't do that because there's actually no funding behind it. It's just a whole conceptual thing. And now we have the neighbors in Rochester Park that are like, yeah, we love this. We voted on this. We went to public meetings and we gave our input. And now we expect to see these things come to fruition. Well, then it's not realistic.
And that does go to the direction that's needed for the public engagement process, which is it isn't the choice between 5A and 5B or 6A and 6B. It's really about, do we want to spend a bunch of our money, or do we want to get involved with as a community in making these things happen? And that gets really hard, I think, especially when you say, well, maybe we could start to get some private sector investment, which is probably what it would require to get to these visions, but, you know.
Right.
Well, we have phase 2 is the public engagement phase of our arrangement with the consultants, and I think we should consider that we're at a point to begin to implement phase 2.
I don't think anybody's arguing that. I think so. What we've been, and even this was a little cumbersome, and I think we all can agree that the numbers may not have come out exactly as we, you know, had hoped. But not as we had hoped, but you know that we
laid out the way they were because clearly this idea of an ecological and conservation, horticultural visionary vision for a big expanse, like that's in place, right? We know that because it's logical and everything else we said. What is important to know is that for something that would be planned years away from now, where the real, you know, who's in there, it's going to be years away, we our advice to you is not to get locked into something so narrowly and say, the only vision for having an expanded sort of profile for the domes is locked into one thing about, you know, simply horticulture, that there may be other ways to add to this. And so we did this 5-6 mostly to say there are multiple visions and there are multiple ways. Several people, so the guy said that, we could integrate some of these pieces in here together. And so, if you know, again, if one were to look at the fine print and say, in the eco-dome, I think, as Dr. Bria said, there would be ways to try in that dome to get people into the higher levels because that's part of the experience there. And in the something that's a little bit more adventuresome, that will bring in a family that maybe expose them to the other domes and to have some of the other, and to have some built into that more general attraction, some real environmental messages in that dome, that's a strategy that's out there that's being done. We're not advocating one way or the other, but we know that there are multiple answers that you could decide on in the future, and that's why we did it the way we did it, to help you get to not getting stuck on something and know that, the only way to go is this. And with that, we're actually writing down the answer right now, because that can be really hard if a certain vision is locked in now so early in the planning process.
So all the more reason then to simplify the public, the range of public options. You know, if you say, do you want Wisconsin Dells? A lot of people say, sure, I want Wisconsin Dells. You know, that becomes sort of unrealizable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we certainly in this process aren't saying that our public outreach has to be at this level of work that because the communities have all this, again, it's self-evident that wouldn't be helpful to people to put up this complex thing.
And there seems to be, if you take a look at these numbers, there's a little bit more interest in the advanced options. So the advanced option being 5 and 6, the grand vision. 5 and 6. That was a third choice. Add to that the 6 votes for option 4 as the second choice. Obviously, it does not quite outweigh the first choice, option 3, which seems to more be the status quo. What we're trying to get at is that there's an interest in an exciting grand vision that would take a lot of probably outside dollars. Totally radically new models for organizing and operating. But there's an interest, there's a keen interest there. It's just maybe there's a hesitation to say that should be the way to go.
Well, I actually, the way I would read this, it's an interpretation. One way to think about it is that because we forced, and we could do this many times, but we forced more or less saying to people, participants, give us your best. Your number 3. And so in that case, it was 7 and 3. 3 people thought, that's far enough, which is option 4. And 7 said it was this more visionary. Only 1 said, let's just repair them as is. The people who were 7s then gave their votes in this way. And actually, some of them said no more, because there's 11 votes here, 8. So several people voted just for the 3. But of the people who did vote for options 5 and 6, 6 of them said, well, if we can't get the big vision, well, let's at least get option 4. So actually, there's a way to parse this out that I think really does indicate actually more directly what you're saying is there's an interest in this and going beyond the status quo. I mean, that's pretty clear cut.
Okay.
and find one more quick point, which is, and if they and these folks, then some people are saying, well, we can't even get these. Well, darn it, we're sure as heck going to remediate the domes.
I think we're missing a big option here. when the original conservatory ran into difficulties through a storm, they deemed that it was unrepairable because it was like 100 years old. So the community decided to shut the facility. It took 10 years to come up with something new. We don't have anything here to go along with option one and two that if it's deemed through the studies that it's not repairable, that this task force says we do want something new. We don't have that as an option. We're just not, we're not addressing option one and two. Does that make sense to everybody?
Although the studies come back and say you can't be in it.
If you take the approach that, okay, just let it run its course, there's no future.
Well,
there's no future.
What you,
we're not
what, you, what you described before is option
one.
Either one or two,
one.
To tear it down.
Right.
Okay,
but yet another part of it is we should be stating, okay, if that's what needs to be done, we're also recommending something new. That something new could be the Echo Dome or the Adventure Dome.
Well, I think we we're at a point where we're putting out options for public discussion. We're not making decisions. People can say, I think something's missing here, and we can revisit this at the end of phase two and say there's a really strong push in the community for tearing down what we have and building something new in Mitchell Park or somewhere else. But we don't have, to present that, the options of the public, our vision is to tear down the domes and in 10 or 15 years come up with something to replace them.
No.
But
the statement is we know we have an issue, just like he's pointing out here, build a new facility. So if the decision is made we're not going to invest in the facility anymore, what's the plan? The plan is something new.
I don't think we're saying the same.
Can I just answer this?
Yeah.
Because I think, Roger, that we do actually have that option, but not on such a definite term done now. Because in 5 and 6, where we're talking about a long-term phasing plan, we're talking about maybe 20 years when there's structurally too much risk, then we have a plan where then we can convert it or convert one dome at a time or tear down one at a time as they become dangerous. But so it does actually address that, but it's not as definite as it was back then where they had to tear the whole thing down and close it. We actually have a lag in time and phasing that we can do that could satisfy preserving them for as long as possible. So we have preservation, but then we also have a scheme, a way to pay for it over time and phase it and get that plan enacted so that you're not stuck not knowing what to do in 20 years because you did nothing.
But that's the big unknown yet. We don't.
It's unknown when?
We don't have the study.
We don't have the definite numbers. But we do know enough to be able to think this through rationally in our minds as to how do we get the most out of these current domes and preserve them as long as we can, and then have a plan for when we may come to that point if technology doesn't be able to save
them. But Julie, if you come back and tell me you can only extend them 20 years, I will vote against that.
If you're talking about fixing them all at once and putting a big number and just saying then they're done in 20 years, you can tear them all down. But if you phase this correctly and you really think about, say, maybe we take one down right away, like one of the suggestions.
get something else up that's going to last 50 years. And then we work it in, we weave it in. We don't do everything at once with one big dollar. It's a phased plan that takes care of both preservation and the future needs of the conservatory. And I think that's why we ended up getting to option six from just five, because there is that phased intermingling of things. Things don't have to be so all at once. Even if we just fix them, we don't have to have all the dollars up front and fix all three domes right away. You know, we might take 5 years to fix all three domes if that's what it comes to. But I think there's a way through it, and that's kind of why it got to be so many options, because we started talking about funding and the reality of the situation that we're in. And nobody wants to see it close down or to tear them down and close down. They have nothing for 10 years because we won't have a collection. So.
Thanks. John?
I was saying they're all closed down. Shouldn't there could be a window of opportunity? And there is $90 million, so you know, construction always has to go in phases, but there could be an opportunity within 18 months to 2 years.
By the nature of the exercise tonight, it is added an either or, but it actually could be an implicit language between option one and option five and six. But we need to keep that in mind.
Limp along for a while.
We're just, you know, if we can't keep it rather broad, we still have a vision for something that will be just as cool as either or in the six.
Well, we're at a point where we can turn over to the consulting team the task of proposing to us a public engagement plan